Okay, so one of the iconic songs of my generation is REM's It's the End of the World. So it starts with a quick little drum solo, and then Michael Stipe sings, "That's great, it starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes and aeroplanes, and Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane, listen to yourself churn," and it gets faster and faster. I'm not gonna sing it. I once knew all the words. And then the chorus proclaims, "It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine." I wonder if perhaps these boys from Athens had heard the wisdom from the early days of Hollywood. You start with an earthquake, and then you build up to the climax. That's great. It starts with an earthquake. The first gospel lesson for this first Sunday in Advent is like that too. "But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken." It starts with an earthquake. We get this little apocalypse, and it gets us started with the heavens shaking and the stars falling out of the sky. There can be no doubt that there is much at stake this season. From the very beginning, we get a glimpse of the end. Now, when Mark's gospel account was being recorded around 70 CE, the people may very well have thought that the end of the world was in sight. Not only had Jesus been executed by the state, buried, raised from the dead, and then ascended into heaven, the whole rest of the world was in chaos too. But no matter how traumatic it was obviously not the end. What we get from these apocalyptic visions is a message that it will get worse before it gets better. And so we're encouraged to keep hanging on a little longer, because just when you are sure you cannot endure, God will intervene and turn the world right side up. Oh, how we long for God to intervene and turn the world right side up. The thing about these apocalyptic visions is that they're not meant to predict the future. The better way to understand these is to look at the mighty acts of God in the past and then use that as a framework for understanding how we, the people of God, should respond in the present. We sure could use some help in understanding what's going on in our world today and how God's ongoing action in the world calls us to respond. And we join our voices with the people in the texts in Mark and in Isaiah crying out, "Where are you, God? When are you coming? We need you now." And Jesus reminded the people then, as he reminds us now, that he will come again. We don't need to invest our time in decoding the signs or getting lost in the details. The better thing he tells us is to focus on being ready. So Advent is a season of waiting and preparing. It's a season when we prepare to welcome the Christ child, which has already happened, and we prepare to welcome his triumphant return, which has not yet happened. "Keep alert," Jesus says. "Keep awake," he tells us. But what if we're already in a state of sleep deprivation? What if we're already scurrying around, plenty busy with a full schedule? The way this season usually goes for most of us, it seems a little ridiculous to say keep awake. Perhaps instead of filling our travel mugs with more caffeinated coffee, we should be handing out some nice, soothing sleepy time tea in one of those pottery mugs that feels so good in your hands if you ever slow down long enough to sit and enjoy it. The problem with this season is that we are often awake and alert to a lot of things that don't really matter, and we're asleep to much of what does matter. Pastor Lillian Daniel thinks we may not be physically asleep, quite the opposite, she says, but in our wakefulness to worldly ways, we fall asleep to the spiritual season, and so we need a wake-up call from the Gospel of Mark. Many of us have wished in the past weeks, months, or even years that we could wake up from the bad dream that we are living in. The message of the gospel is that there is still time to wake from the bad dream. There is still time to be awake, to encounter the presence of Christ in our waking hours. By staying awake to what matters, we may notice the signs that Christ has already arrived. By staying awake, we may notice the new leaves sprouting from the tender branch of the fig tree that remind us of the promise of spring. By staying awake, we may see the one we are waiting for already present and active in the world, often in places that we would never expect. This Advent season, we're going to talk a lot about light as we await Jesus, the light of the world, the light that conquered death and darkness. And this season, I hope we will all be awake to see those places where Christ's light is breaking in, because we are in desperate need of light to break in. And so we wait, we keep awake. And what can we do as we wait and prepare? We can stay attuned to signs of God's presence already active in the world. We can point to the miraculous signs of God's love and light breaking into the world. This is an already and not yet time. So we wait for Christ to come, but we know he already has. Christ's light is already shining in the world. We just miss it sometimes. We get distracted by the busy and all the other flashing lights that surround us. There is light missing in the world, but there is also light breaking in. The promise is that God will come in the darkness, not in our efforts to create artificial light. Salvation has already entered our lives in the dark of that stable so long ago, in the arms of a young woman, in the silence of the night. God has already come in the darkness. God continues to come in the darkness. Some years it seems like that's just normal talk. We talk about ordinary darkness and we don't quite feel sadness or fear. And I wonder, is this year any different? Are the losses we have experienced in our community making the world seem a bit darker this year? We wake far too often to the news of another mass shooting or unimaginable tragedy. Well, we say unimaginable, but they have become quite imaginable these days. And so the world seems a bit darker. It's not quite earthquakes, birds, and snakes, and airplanes. It's not quite the sun being dark and stars falling from the sky, but it sure does feel different. The darkness feels like it has more power. And Scripture calls us in this season to wait. But I think we all may be tired of waiting. We're tired of waiting for war to end. We're tired of waiting for terrorism to go away. We're tired of waiting for the hungry to be fed and the jobless to find work. We're tired of waiting for an end to abuse so that children and adults don't have to be afraid in their own homes. We're tired of waiting for people to sit at the negotiating table to end violence in all the hot spots around the world. We're tired of waiting for our own leaders to stop offering thoughts and prayers instead of meaningful action through fruitful conversation and compromise. We're tired of waiting for brown bodies to be as valuable as white bodies, for black lives lost to cause as much outrage as white lives lost, for women's voices to be heard and trusted as easily and quickly as men's voices. We're tired. We're tired of waiting for the true light to overcome all that darkness. It's dark, and it sure does feel better to string those icicle lights outside and find the timers for the electric candles that sit on our windowsills. But we're also called to name the darkness that makes us and others uncomfortable. And we're called to keep our eyes open for signs of God's light already breaking in through the world. We're called to point out that light of God's love that we see in the world. We're called also to work to break down those things, the injustices, the structures that block the light. We're called to reflect and bear Christ's light in the darkness. Mark's original audience was afraid. They thought it was the end of the world, but it wasn't the end. In the end, God's love and light win. If God's love and light are not ruling the darkness, then it's not the end. So if we are anxious or afraid, we have the hope of the light that has come and is coming. And while we wait, we get to remind the world that this isn't the end. We get to point out God's love and light, and we get to reflect that light with our lives. We can't make all the darkness go away, but we can help the light break through in one small corner or another. This morning we lit one candle. One candle doesn't make much of a difference in a well-lit room. This candle, though, is a powerful symbol of waiting and preparing and expectation and hope through the darkness. One candle might not make a big difference in the darkness, but we light it anyway. We light it, we share it, we stay awake, we work, we watch. We listen for the stirrings of the Spirit and participate in God's justice that breaks down those barriers which block the light. We catch the flame of this one candle and we carry it wherever we go, taking hope with us to share. Amen.